Listening Library presents Sunderworld, Volume 1, The Extraordinary Disappointments of Leopold Barry, by Ransom Riggs. Read for you by Kirby Hayborn. For Tahara. Chapter 1. Leopold Barry had been trying to ignore the raccoon in the tree out the window, but like so many things in his life, it seemed impossible. The raccoon was perched on a branch that aligned perfectly with the head of the man Leopold was supposed to be listening to, a man who'd just asked Leopold a question he hadn't really heard. It almost seemed like the raccoon was trying to distract him on purpose. Twice the creature had nearly fallen out of the tree, only to drag itself back onto the branch after a lot of clawing and flailing. Just now, its tail had burst into flames. The natural thing to do, Leopold realized, would have been to direct the attention of his father and the interviewer to the animal on fire as explanation for why he'd been so distracted these past minutes. He couldn't, of course, because the raccoon's tail was not really on fire. The raccoon was not really there at all. These things happened to Leopold sometimes. When he was 12, a therapist told him he had a hyperactive imagination, that he saw strange and impossible things at the moments he most wanted to escape from his life. He'd once been plagued by these dissociative episodes, but it had been years since the last one. Then, a week ago, Leopold had seen a single, small rain cloud trail a harried fruit vendor down a sidewalk in Hollywood. The week before that, through the windshield of his traffic-stalled car, he'd watched a man pry a tooth from his mouth and insert it into a parking meter, prompting a fissure to open in the pavement. With a furtive glance behind him, the man had climbed into the cavity, disappearing just before it closed over his head. But these episodes had been brief, and each time Leopold had assured himself it was nothing to worry about. Who didn't occasionally fantasize while stuck in traffic? But now, the raccoon. This episode had lasted longer than either the tooth man or the fruit vendor, which was disconcerting and, at the moment, extraordinarily inconvenient. He desperately wished the raccoon that was not really there anyway would just disappear. Then, with a peevish flick of its flaming tail, it did. The meeting had not been going well even prior to the raccoon. Leopold wasn't purposely trying to frustrate his interviewer, an avuncular older man in golf clothes who had started off smiling, but now looked like he too wished he were somewhere else. Nor was he hoping to piss off Richter, his tall, barrel-chested father, who was growing quietly apoplectic in the chair beside Leopold. He really was doing his best, if only to appease Richter, but he couldn't focus. The gray suit Leopold had been forced to wear was loose in some places and tight in others. He was certain his pale skin had flushed bright red. He'd forgotten most of the canned responses his father had encouraged him to memorize, and the ones he did remember came out sounding forced. And now, he'd allowed 6 seconds of excruciating silence to elapse as he stared out the window at a non-existent raccoon. Leopold directed his eyes back to the man behind the desk.
Sorry, what was the question again?
There was a creak of stiff leather as Leopold's father dug his fingers into the arms of his chair.
Larry's just tired, he said through peroxide white teeth. Poor kid was so excited about this meeting, he hardly slept last night.
Larry was a nickname Leopold had acquired in childhood and had never been able to shake. Larry Barry. It sounded like a punchline. The only person ever to call him by his given name, Leopold, had been his mother, and because it rang foreign on anyone else's tongue, he'd long ago resigned himself to Larry, a name that made him cringe whenever it was spoken aloud. The man glanced at his watch. An electric guitar signed by the members of some famous band was displayed proudly on the wall.
No need to be nervous, Larry. We're just having a friendly conversation.
He grinned in a way that was designed to put Leopold at ease.
I asked, what's your greatest strength? What do you feel you're best at?
Leopold cleared his throat. He could feel his father's eyes drilling into him.
Well, I guess,
he tried to conjure one of the answers he'd rehearsed, something about leadership and problem solving.
I don't really know.
If you ask me, Mick,
his father cut in, Larry's problem is he has too many strengths.
Makes it tough to decide where to focus his energy. Barry family curse.
He laughed like a sputtering engine. The man chuckled politely.
Then I'll make this easier. How about you give me your top three?
Leopold's mind went blank. He saw something flick among the branches of the tree out the window, but forced himself to ignore it. His palms began to itch.
Larry,
his father hissed.
No need to be modest.
I'm not.
Leopold shifted in his seat.
I'm just not the best at anything.
His father made a strangled noise.
Now, I'm sure that's not true, said the interviewer.
But it felt true. It was the truest feeling thing Leopold had said aloud in a long time. What he excelled at were minor things his father thought categorically worthless. Working on his old car, tinkering with small electrical objects, and making homemade movies set in the world of a certain fantasy TV show that had gone off the air before he was born. He was ashamed of these forgettable skills, so he never mentioned them. The man winked.
Don't worry. I'm good at finding hidden talents.
I certainly hope so,
Larry's father muttered. In Richter Barry's opinion, there were two types of people in the world, winners and losers. He'd argued as much in his first book, Think Like a Winner, the publication of which he'd parlayed into a career as a success coach, a profession that suited him perfectly because it involved, mainly, yelling at people. So long as he did it with a smile, a shocking number of seemingly well-adjusted people would submit to being berated, harangued, and belittled by Richter Barry in the name of self-improvement. Whole auditoriums of them, all paying for the privilege. Richter was very proud of himself and of his two stepsons, Hal and Drake. Hal, captain of his high school wrestling team, and Drake, going into his second year at USC's business school, were turning out to be killers in the barrel-chested mold of their stepfather. But Richter was worried, had been worried for years, that his biological son, a lean, dreamy, distractible boy with no discernible talent for or interest in anything practical at all, was growing up to become not a winner. But Richter was no quitter. He couldn't abide a failure in the family. It simply didn't fit the brand. He'd given his son several perfectly good options for a future career. Larry could go to law school and become a lawyer, preferably corporate. Go to business school and get on the executive track, Fortune 500, or what was the point? Do a finance program that would lead to private equity or investment banking. Goldman, ideally, though the boy was hopeless with numbers, so that seemed the least likely of the three. All Larry had to do was choose.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?